Earlier this year, the suicide of 14-year-old Dolly Everett seemed to shock and bewilder Australians. Dolly, from Katherine in the Northern Territory, had been subjected to cyberbullying. According to new research from the eSafety Commissioner, that age, 14, is the average age of kids who are bullied online. One in five kids reports being cyberbullied, and girls are harassed more often than boys. The research and a call for incorporating how to deal with it in the national curriculum will be part of a national address by Australia's eSafety Commissioner, Julie Inman-Grant, who joins us this morning. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me, Sabra.
One in five kids being cyberbullied, that seems alarmingly high. Is it getting worse?
It isn't getting worse. The research that we've seen over the past 10 years show that it's largely been consistent. So this has been a long-standing phenomenon, as long as smartphones and the internet have been in children's lives.
And one in four complaints to the eSafety office involve direct threats of violence or harm targeting a child. What do you do when you're told about these threats? Are police notified immediately?
Well, we have a definition of serious cyberbullying, which is serious cyberbullying when a child is intimidated, humiliated, harassed, or threatened. So it's a fairly high threshold. Only about 4% have reached the threshold where there was fears of direct threats of harm, and we've sent over to the law enforcement. But what we tend to do, because we know that almost all of youth-based cyberbullying is peer-to-peer and has the nexus of social conflict within the school gates, is we work with the kids, the parents, the schools to try and get to the heart of the social conflict. And once we address that, the cyberbullying material tends to dissipate. But then, of course, we work with the social media sites to get that harmful material down.
You believe that teaching kids how to respond to this should be part of national curriculum, that should be in schools everywhere. How are you going to make that happen?
Right. Well, I believe that online safety starts in the home, and parents are the front line of defense. We recently did some research of parents, 3,500 parents of 2 to 17-year-olds, and we found the astounding number that 42% of 2-year-olds have been given an internet-enabled device. So the minute we hand over device is when we need to start talking to our kids about respect, responsibility, but also to let them know that they can come to us if something goes wrong. Because we don't want parents engaging in either device denial or outright denial, and we want them to have those open conversations. The next catchment area, of course, is the schools. And because the internet is such an indispensable part of our lives, and we're trying to prepare kids for the workforce of the future, we need to be teaching them those non-cognitive behaviors and skills to be able to navigate the online world safely.
One in 10 people aged over 18 also say that they've had an intimate image or a video shared online without their permission. Laws passed Parliament 2 months ago regarding so-called revenge porn with big fines for individuals and companies. Have you had to use those powers yet?
We are actively seeking to use those powers now. We have a number of cases that have come into our office. We're really grateful for those powers. Before we had formal powers, we were able to get 80% of the content down from overseas sites. But, you know, we're constrained by technology and jurisdiction, and we play a little bit of a game of whack-a-mole. So these new powers are tremendous for helping us not only go after the perpetrators directly and the bad content hosts, but to also give victims a broader range of redress options.
And those 20% that you aren't successful with, what can you do about that?
Well, those are largely what we call rogue porn sites, or sites that are taken that are put up solely for the purpose of humiliating women mostly. Some of those sites, like myx.com, have been taken down. So a really important part of our work is working with other jurisdictions so that we can make sure that this content is taken down where we don't have jurisdiction.
Now, the government's ordered an independent review of your office. How surprising is it to you that the Digital Industry Group, which represents some very popular social media sites, says that your office's powers should be curbed?
Well, I mean, the starting point for the tech industry of where I spent 20 years is that they should be completely left alone and unregulated by government. So we are regulating them for the content and conduct that is happening on their sites. And of course, they don't like that. I prefer to work through a co-regulatory model because I believe it's a much more efficient and effective way to get content down. And in fairness to the technology companies, they don't want online abuse happening on their sites, but they need to do more to curb it. And that's why we're calling on them to incorporate safety by design into their product development processes.
How responsive are they to your office now because of these beefed up powers?
Well, we've spent a lot of time building the relationships with them, and they are responsive. As I said, they don't want serious cyberbullying content on their sites either. But we can also fine them up to $26,000 a day if they don't take down serious cyberbullying content. Now, that's just a drop in the bucket for a technology behemoth, but it's the reputational damage that they're concerned about.
All right. Australia's eSafety Commissioner, Julianne McGrath, thank you for joining the program this morning.
Thank you.
And if you're looking for information on dealing with cyberbullying, there is the Commissioner's website, esafety.gov.au. And if you or anyone you know needs help, you can call Lifeline on 13 11 14.